Hello and welcome back to another episode of Experience Architecture, the State and Future of Loyalty and CRM Marketing. My name is Joe Dorn. I'm the Vice President of Client Services here at Persuade Loyalty here in Minneapolis. And today we're going to talk about loyalty plus wearables. So with the advent of the Apple Watch, Google Wear, Fitbit, and other wearables, the trend has mainly been towards fitness. These devices have been most successful. They've seen the most adoption with fitness. But we still see a move within loyalty programs and different brands to add these channels and devices with sort of the device geek or your most avid customers in mind, thinking that they need this channel as well. However, here at the agency, our point of view is simply adding a wearable version of your app. It won't be successful and is frankly going to cost a lot of money in terms of development, time, testing, integration, so on and so forth. So you need to come in with a strategy aside from just, I'm going to add a wearable to my channel, that actually elevates your existing experience. And that's really hard to do. I mean, the reason that these devices have been mainly adopted with fitness is that that is the area that it makes the most sense. I can just take my Apple Watch and go for a run. I don't have to bring my phone with me. That doesn't work in a lot of other scenarios. So what we did is we took a look at the brands who have integrated wearables successfully. This doesn't necessarily mean it's restricted just to loyalty. It's for those companies that have taken a step back and added wearables to their digital mix and really added to the experience. They looked at it from an experience-first perspective. So without further ado, let's take a look at four of them. The first one is Delta Plus Clear, where you can use your fingerprint to check into the Delta Sky Lounge. So our first example doesn't use a device at all. I mean, it uses the fingerprint reader provided by Clear, but the device that you're customer that Delta's customers have in this example is just their fingerprint. To be honest, I personally wasn't a Clear customer until I saw our two managing partners skip the line into the Orlando Sky Lounge by simply using their fingerprint and smiling at the Delta staff while I had to stand in line to present my American Express card. So you may argue that this play is a much bigger deal for Clear, who is target audience is a frequent traveler for whom even TSA pre isn't fast enough. But for Delta, Clear is a perk for their top level tier. So they get it for free if you're a Diamond member. And if you're a lounge member just in general, however, whether you paid for it or used points, you can add Clear access as a perk. And there's most of the lounges in the Delta system have a Clear station right within the lounge that you can use to link things up. And so we actually think the play, while it certainly helps Clear, and I'm sure Clear has sold thousands of memberships to people who just use the lounge, this play is actually better for Delta in that they've integrated this experience of faster check-in, of elite recognition, this skip the line, just scan my fingerprints and wave for their top members, and it's slick and it's awesome. And while I did join Clear as a part of it, I really think about it as a Delta thing. So it is important to note, as we're talking about this first example, that this is a particular type of amenity and experience that's it's reserved for the Uber traveler. No one's going to, well, hopefully no one's going to pay for Clear if you're flying just a couple times a year. But if you're flying a lot and you're a lounge member and you use the lounges and you're a Delta fan, this is an implementation of wearables that is fantastic. The second example is also in the travel hospitality space, but with hotels. And the idea here is don't make your guests necessarily have to use wearables or create these digital channels for your guests. Give it to your staff to help your customer experience. So the Viceroy Hotel partnered up with Samsung and the hospitality software company Alice, and they provided devices to their hotel staff. So staff, via various alerts through Alice and their integration to the Samsung Wear suite of tools, are able to say, hey, this customer needs help right now, or it enables the staff to more efficiently and more quickly service customers. The biggest experience add here is twofold. One, staff is able to more quickly support the guest, but they're also able to, and this is probably the more subtle but bigger deal, they're also able to help the guests without getting it out a tablet or getting out a phone. They're able to just look at their wearable and react. And anyone who's worked in the service industry, whether it's at a hotel or a coffee shop or as a waiter in a restaurant, you know the use of your two hands is just vital to being able to do your job. And it seems so trite that we even have to say that, but it's true. So many restaurants, so many different types of brands are just putting tablets or iPhones in their employees' hands, and that's another thing they have to get out, look, click around with. If it's right there, they're wearing it, the information that's just pertinent to that situation is there and brought to the forefront. That's huge. And so, you know, ultimately, loyalty is the reaction here. At the Viceroy Hotel, no one cares if you can order, you know, room service using Alexa or with your phone or with their app. I don't, you know specifically if Viceroy offers that in their app experience or not. But if they did, that would be cool. But what would be much more meaningful is if a housekeeping person is next to my floor or on my floor and I say, hey, my toilet's busted, and they react much faster because they're wearing that wearable. That type of response and that sort of hands-on care is elevating their members' experience. So kudos to you, Viceroy, for adding wearables as a digital channel, not necessarily to the guests, but adding it to the staff. Our next example applies to a very small set of companies, but is again an example where a company looked at the experience first and then developed a digital channel and wearables that applied to the experience, not necessarily to just adding a channel. So Disney Magic Bands launched in 2013. Few companies have literally a billion with a B dollars to invest in creating their own custom wearable, but Disney does, and they know it's what was required to create the Disney magic in this situation. And it's become an absolute mainstay. I was at Disney in January. I had my Magic Band. I was able to pay with it. I was able to use my tickets with it. I was able to have every part of my experience centered around the Disney Magic Band. And so they're collectible, they're coveted. They, you know, when they're launching a new one here pretty soon, they're going to have the hype of, you know, one of an Apple launch or another big product launch. And Disney's bet, you know, has completely paid off in this case. So with Disney, they said, hey, how do we add wearables to this experience? I'm sure they looked at all the different major brands. They could have made a collaboration with anybody. They took the huge risk, R&D-wise, and spent $1 billion to build their own because they knew that was front and center to creating amazing Disney magic. So our list of top wearables to this point involves none of the most common wearables. I haven't said Apple Watch. I haven't said, you know, Google Wear. And so given that Forrester states the adoption of consumer wearables will grow by 28% by 2022, that's a lot of twos, we should probably include at least one app implementation that shows loyalty members the love using a traditional wearable approach. So it's the easy answer. We wish we had something more hipster and less mainstream to say, but Starbucks. Starbucks Rewards continues to nail it with their extension of their award-winning killer rewards app. And the reason is because they keep it so damn simple. Excuse our French, but so many brands overcomplicate this and try to pack too much in to the wearable app experience. Starbucks, you know, started with, they revolutionized loyalty and created a brand new category of mobile payment using the loyalty program. I mean, this, for Starbucks, put aside the wearable for a second, obviously they hit it out of the park with just doing that. So when it came time to add a wearable, you thought that they might do something fancy, something that involved a lot of beacons, tracking where you are and doing a whole lot of things. No. The one thing the app does is it says, this is where Starbucks is, and when you go in there, it allows you to pay for it. I think it also might give you a Stars balance if you want to know that. But it allows you to walk in, scan, pay, get out. And that's the beautiful thing about the Starbucks Rewards program to begin with. And then it's the beautiful thing about their wearable app in that they don't try to do more than what should be done in that situation. So, in summary, just adding a wearable app to your loyalty program experience isn't going to cut it. Look at the experience first. Figure out what can be added either to your employees' suite of tools, to the various other pieces and parts of the member experience. Make it easier for them. Make that, you know, hands-free or nearly hands-free experience very cool. And if you want ideas on your specific brand, we at Persuade would love to help. Feel free to give me a shout at joe@persuadeloyalty.com or give me a ring at 612-230-1452. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.